You're very welcome to Slugger O'Toole's party election broadcast review for the upcoming local elections. We may be back pretty soon for the European elections, which are in just over a month's time, but we'll focus on the local elections. We're going to look at the five main parties and see how they've done this election cycle. Now, for those not familiar with this, basically, we bring a panel of judges together and we rank each of them out of 10, and we decide who has got the best party election broadcast of this election campaign. And to walk us through this, we have the Irish News security correspondent and now Slugger regular, Alison Morris, and we have from Brian O'Connor, we have Chris Brown, and we have our own Alan in Belfast is about
you
to call you
me
there.
What you want.
And of course, you all know me, David McCann from Slugger O'Toole. So we will start off with the largest party at local government, the Democratic Unionist Party, and I'll go to you first, Alison. What did you make of the DUP's party election broadcast?
I thought it was very slick. It started off how I expected it, because, you know, we see Arling and Nigel walking up to their mates in 10 Downing Street. They're going to have tea, their best mates with Theresa May. Look at us, we're in government. And that was what I thought it was going to be the whole way through. And I thought, this isn't going to be relevant to local council elections at all. But then about a minute and a half in, I think it went to the councillors. And I was impressed that they actually managed to get dog fouling into a party election broadcast about the council. I don't think I've ever heard anyone mention cleaning up dog poo, like, in a party election broadcast. And I thought it was very interesting. But it was the candidates that it showed, I think, is it Margaret Tindley, mm-hmm. in her home. And it was a beautiful home. It must be a nightmare to clean everything, and it was cream. It was very middle class and nice, and yeah, but they're a good mix of sort of rural city. They covered all the council issues that you would expect in a council election, and they didn't say Sinn Féin once. They did mention, you know, some people may push for a border poll, but I don't think they mentioned the party. You know, it was like Lord Voldemort.
Yes, it was others want instability and a border poll.
Yeah. So it's like they who shall not be named, wasn't it? Yeah. We will say that there are other people who may want, but not say them. So I thought it was very clever. It was very high production value. They've clearly got a few quid. They've spent a lot of money on it. And it got all the issues that they would want. And they kept mentioning, you know, this unionist unity thing, like, get behind us. But unionist unity doesn't mean all the unionist party uniting. It means all the unionist voters voting for the DUP.
Yes.
But, you know, from their point of view, I thought it really hammered their message home.
Okay. Chris, what do you make of it?
Well, the same as Alison, I thought it was very well produced. They got the 1 billion figure in. They looked at health and education. Bizarrely, a shot of Daisy Hill Hospital, which I wouldn't thought of be very sort of DUP orientated. But they were very keen to make sure that all the imagery from around Northern Ireland was from DUP heartlands. A lot of Scrabble Tower, a lot of Newton Arch in there as well. Very interesting that Nigel Dodds gets the last word out of the whole thing, which I think is very reflective of where the party is as well. I noticed the dog fouling piece in there as well, because it's a huge, pardon the pun, pet hate of mine, and it's a very important issue when it comes to electing your local government councillors. Also, a lot of these party election broadcasts have buses in them, bizarrely, as well. And the bus that was going across the screen at one stage, I put a freeze on the frame and it had Robin Hood written on the side of it. So I don't know whether that's completely accidental or it was time to go past. So I think, you know, overall, Sinn Féin wasn't mentioned like other parties mentioned the DUP. Border poll seems to be a bad thing, mm-hmm. rather than an inevitability.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And Alan, what do you make of it?
I feared that it was all going to be a bit like Alison says. It was the first minute was only about Westminster and MPs, and that's very off-putting, because you're thinking, have I like woken up at the wrong election? Something happened. Did Theresa May call an election that I didn't notice? The first striking line in it was the no other party delivered a single penny for services you rely on, which is kind of true until you remember the Tories, who actually delivered the whole £1 billion with them, and are even standing in this election. So it was. So that's a kind of. It's a fly line to put in, because they are, yes, the only people other than an independent unionist from North Down who's actually in the in Westminster. But on the other hand, it kind of forgets the fact that they're part of a bigger thing. They ticked all the boxes with National Armed Forces Day, a very weird line about the lasting legacy of public art, of which the DUP are not deep into public art, but around C.S. Lewis Square and things.
And there was lovely shots of C.S. Lewis Square as well, and it very beautifully filmed.
I felt it was long. It's one of the ones that's they're either 2:40 or 3:40 in terms of how long they are. This was a 3:40 one, and boy did it drag. I would have liked a shorter one. They also, interestingly, didn't burn their subtitles into the YouTube version, which we were watching, since we don't all stay up late at night to watch them on TV. And I thought that was interesting because nearly everybody else was kind of going for the, just make sure the subtitles are there by default, don't leave it to YouTube. So that was interesting, reflective as well. But it's fairly okay.
Okay, so we'll go to the score. I mean, you've all elaborated on stuff that I pointed out. I thought the Armed Forces Day was good. They profiled more women. Normally, DP election broadcasts are awful for actual gender balance, but this one was actually pretty good. They also got a good broad representation of their candidates and actually featured their local election candidates speaking about some of the things that they were doing, which I thought was very good. So, Alison, out of 10, what would you give the DUP party election broadcast?
I thought for a unionist electorate in a local council election, it was perfectly pitched for what they were trying to aim it for. It covered all bases. And so I'd give it an 8 out of 10.
Okay. And Chris, what would you give it?
I'd probably give it a 7 out of 10. It's very personable, but you know, there's something lacking in the excitement factor of all these things.
Okay.
And I'm with Chris in 7 because I think compared to some of the others, it didn't. It just didn't kind of sell itself as much. But there is worse.
Yeah. and they have produced worse as well. Yeah, I agree with Alison on this. I thought for Unionist Electra, I thought it was really well pitched, so I was giving it an 8, and it has been a massive improvement on what they have turned out before as well.
And this is a weird exercise, we should admit, in terms of thinking about the aesthetics of something that is political and has an audience who hate it and an audience who are meant to love it, and so it's kind of a weird exercise. But
and it's not aiming at us, you know, they're not aiming it at me or you. It's aiming at it. So you're trying to get inside the mind, you know, of a DUP.
And they have to remember that this goes out at 6 o'clock in the evening. People are sitting down to their tea or just having a cup of tea, so trying to keep it interesting for them. Now, flipping over the coin, and we go over to Sinn Féin, who have typically done well at the Slugger broadcast before in terms of ratings. So, Chris, I'll go to you first on this one. What did you make of Sinn Féin's PB?
I thought it was quite good. I think it's highly stylized right from the outset. I think for the Instagram generation, I think it's a Vienna filter that they had on the first opening shots of it as well. So it looks very mahogany, very cuprinol washed, which I thought was quite interesting. Wasn't sure about the iconography of Queen's University in the background, what that meant. It maybe just was they were at a conference earlier that day and kind of rolled it out as well. I noticed on YouTube they've disabled their comments below their their piece,
which is a very wise thing, probably,
very wise thing, because
given what you see underneath some of the others.
The only reason why I read that was because I read it on the DUP's. It's very strange. They take on the DUP in the first couple of minutes. It's everything you expect. I think it's talking about the issues based stuff yet again to the heartland as well, and a lot of sort of strong profiles of the people that they have that are coming through the party, but also you'll notice Martin McGuinness and Gerry Adams were featured in it as well, probably quite intentionally.
That's right. And Alan, what do you make?
I mean, it starts with Michelle and Mary Lou as kind of a fine romance, and they kind of front it effectively. It has bouncier music than the DUP, which was, given the order that I was just listening to them, or kind of watching them, that made a difference. It definitely ticks the kind of no hard border, Irish language, LGBT rights of women, so it kind of ticks all those kind of big Sinn Féin issues, delivering progressive politics, of which nearly every party would want to say. But the one thing that was startling, and it'll score badly for this, is there's no voice of councillors in it. It was very council light, and this is a council election. It was beautifully short at 2:40, and it talked a lot about leadership, but it didn't actually give any real pictures. There might have been one or two councillors, candidates, who kind of accidentally walked behind Queens, but it wasn't talking about the actual issues of the election. It was making the election into the usual, this is some kind of head count around our pet issues, our party's issues, and it wasn't saying anything about delivery. They weren't proud of their record, and for that, I mean, they have enough councillors in enough councils that they should have something that they would like to be proud of and tell people about.
Okay. Alison, what do you make of Sinn Féin?
This left me completely and utterly scratching my head. I could not understand what was going on. So you had the party leadership who come on and told us all the things that we already know what they stand for. A lot of talk about Irish Language Act, a lot of talk about Brexit, a lot of talk about the LGBT issues, all things that have got absolutely nothing to do with councils, that councils can't deliver. They spoke throughout. There was a lot. It's beautifully made and beautifully shot. I mean, from you know, whoever filmed it or whoever's responsible for that, the production value on it's amazing. But the content of it is so light. And the bit outside Queens, I was completely and utterly baffled. Sinn Féin are traditionally a working class party. It was too Belfast-centric. There was nothing in Derry. There was nothing in Newry. There was nothing in all the places that they should be targeting. Deirdre Hargey is the Mayor of Belfast this year. She wasn't featured in it at all. Yeah. I even looked back to see if she's in the background of any of the shots, and she isn't. She has had a brilliant year as Mayor. I don't think she's put a foot wrong yet. Why wasn't she featured in it? Mm-hmm. They have lots of new young professional council candidates, and we did see two of them walking past at Queen's, Patrice Hardy and John Finucane, but they were literally backing dancers. They had no role in it whatsoever. They didn't speak. Why would you go and recruit a solicitor and a school teacher, two highly intelligent young professional people? I've interviewed John Finucane as a journalist. I couldn't tell you how many times about both his father's campaign and his work as a solicitor. He's more than used to being in front of a camera, and yet he doesn't say a single word. He walks behind, for some reason, Piers Dockery was there. That even baffled me even further. I'm going like, what the hell's he doing there? Like, did they bring him all the way up from Dublin just to walk past Queens? I mean, I don't know.
But it's like a general election campaign. It could have been the general election, party election broadcast. In fact, they could just save it and use it again.
Yes, well, that's what I was going to say. Unless you're trying to save money and they think that that'll do for every election from now on in future, well, then maybe that's the role. Okay, I can see maybe they're trying to show the All-Ireland aspect of it. But, I mean, Queens, for a start, has got no link that I can think of to Sinn Féin whatsoever. They should have been showed you in people's constituencies where the work is actually being done. Sinn Féin is one of the things that has kept them in a position of power and helped them beat the SDLP and take so many seats off them election after election is because of the work that they do in their local council constituencies, because of the work those constituency offices do. But I had no idea of that watching that election broadcast, because that was really a party political broadcast about Mary Lou MacDonald and Michelle O'Neill.
Okay. I interestingly thought a lot of the same things. I thought it was odd that they didn't mention a single council candidate, and that's very unlike lots of other Sinn Féin PBs. The 2015 general election, they had Catherine Seeley in it, they had Chris Hazard in it, they had all the kind of key targets, they had them in it, and they had them doing lots of different things. It was an interesting play on Mary Lou MacDonald as well. She was very high profile, as was Michelle O'Neill, which is understandable, but again, there was no feature, there was no targets, and they've got so many targets in this election. And again, interestingly, for such a successful Lord Mayor, the Deirdre Hargey thing, I remember in 2015 for the general election, the SDLP put Nicola Mallon in their PB. She wouldn't stand in any work, but just because she was such a highly regarded Lord Mayor, they put her in, you know, because she's a wide net boost to them. And they've got high profile reps in other council areas
they
as well.
Have, but not only that, I mean, Derry's probably a place where they're going to have a bit of a battle on their hand with him, McCann. Mm-hmm. Why not have some of it set in Derry?
There was a shot of the Peace Bridge, wasn't there?
The drone footage they've used, and a cross-party drone.
Yeah.
So, but it's a single transferable shot.
I just think that they really missed a trick. They have deep pockets, we know they do. We know they have a big budget. We know that they're one of the richest parties in terms of donations. Mm-hmm. They could have threw anything they wanted at this. Mm-hmm. And yet what they did was they did an advertisement for the party rather than an advertisement for the local council.
Okay. Alison, what would you give Sinn Féin out of 10?
I would give it about a 6 out of 10.
6 out of 10, okay.
I would give it 6 as well.
6, okay, brutal. And what about you, Chris?
I'd give it 6 as well, because I know what the media team in Sinn Féin are like, and they're exceptional. They're very, very good. So what doesn't compute when it comes to this stuff versus putting imagery on Piers Doherty when he stands up in the doll with a Thug Life thing and all that sort of really eye-catching stuff, because at the end of the day, political parties are marketing agencies and they're there to market ideas and they don't do it very well.
Okay. But it isn't the worst.
It isn't the worst. But I would give them a 7 out of 10. Again, it's not their best that they've done. Typically, they score around about 8.5 in these things, so that's low for them. Now, moving on to the SDLP. And the SDLP, we have had some dross from the SDLP in the past. So, Alan, I will give you the floor for the SDLP.
They went for the full 3 minutes 40, and they used it well. They had very dramatic strings at the beginning that had a real sense of urgency that this was an election that we need to do something about. It had lots of faces. It had the single transferable Peace Bridge footage again, only it was kind of this time, okay, it wasn't single transferable, it was different, but I kind of zooming along to kind of see Colm Eastwood's face. It had alliteration galore, so we had Brexit, borders and bickering, we had building barriers, building bridges, politics of partnership and something else, prosperity, destined for disagreement, choose to change. It was the best written speech that I've heard in ages. It was remarkably well written for one of these things, and I think it talked about partnership without actually having to mention the unmentionable party down south, so the kind of a Macbeth moment, but it kind of just referred to it without doing it. I thought it was kind of quite hopeful. It had loads of people in it. It even had a one of the Lisburn candidates, so I wouldn't have a clue what they looked like. Now I know.
He's so Belfast. He's in Lisburn. Paul Doherty's running in Blackburn.
But so
yeah, he's outside Wethersfield in Lisburn.
Lisburn and Castlereagh Council for those who are watching at home. So anyway, I think for me it ticked a lot of the boxes, that it showed a lot of new councillors' faces that were necessary. It wasn't ashamed of Derry. It wasn't ashamed to mention partnership, but it was kind of quite careful, and it had a feeling of, oh, this is something important. I need to do something without having to say that. And I liked it.
Okay, Alison, what do you think of the SDLP?
So I thought the fact that it started with Colm Wastebit on the peace bridge was handy, because we know that he's standing in the European elections now, so it's like a 2-for-1 deal. It's like, we'll use this to give him some publicity for this. It was like, happy days, let's use this budget for two different things. I thought, again, it was well filmed. It clearly had a high production value. They'd clearly thrown a bit of money at it. What I did notice was they kept it very young and very fresh. So the SDLP, I think, where their downfall has been over the past maybe decade or so, is that they're seen by young people as very staid and very old-fashioned, and maybe a bit backward on social issues. So they used Cara Hunter, who I didn't know even existed until this. She was amazingly articulate, clearly a very intelligent young woman. What left me scratching my head at that stage was, why haven't I seen her before? Why don't they use her more often? I would throw her to the front quite a lot. Mm-hmm. Is it Pete Byrne, the councillor who talked about his same-sex marriage? Again, why aren't they throwing him to the front more? You know, why aren't they letting people see that these people are in their party instead of using the same faces all the time, which I think have given the party that sort of stale image? They did cover council issues, which is important because it's a council election. Apart from that, I need to go back and watch it again, because I thought they completely avoided mentioning the Fianna Fáil partnership altogether.
They just called partnership as the key to success, and politics of partnership.
Nobody said those two words, did they? There was no mention of Fianna Fáil.
There was no F's in the alliteration.
And I suppose that, at the end of it, I thought, well, that was the elephant in the room, because if this is the way forward, is this is what's going to save your party, why are you talking about it? So clearly, even in their own heads, they're still unsure as to how the electorate are going to treat this partnership, so they're deciding to be very careful around mentioning, to the point of not mentioning it.
This one grew on me. I think for the first 3 or 4 seconds I was frightened about what was going to be produced at the end
horror,
of the Game of Thrones. What is this? And then, you know, I showed it to everybody in the office and there was a bit of a chuckle about it. It ended up being Colm Eastwood, lo and behold. A lot of drone footage, surprisingly using footage of wind farms, which is some of the most contentious issues you can have in local government. So it's bizarre that they threw some of this kind of stuff in, maybe anaerobic digesters, whatever you could have added in there. When they use some of the fresher looking candidates, they put them against the chipboard wall, which I think
was a cafe. It was one of those modern
cafe
things.
So there was always a great person there to talk about and to, but the situation they put them in was slightly bizarre. So, but that's not to take away from the production value. I get what they were going for. It was a fast, slow type of a situation. I think Nicola's a very strong person, a very strong candidate. They've taken out the best points of some of those candidates that I'd never heard of.
Yeah, and why haven't we heard of them?
When have you ever heard an SDLP candidate with that sort of Monaghan Cavan sort of accent?
Yeah.
You know, even the way they approach that type of person. And then what he says isn't what you expect, and I thought that was very, very refreshing. I mean, changing his life 6 years ago. Yeah. So, and what the South could have offered. So I think all in all, it was very, very good. It could have been better, actually. The outro made Derry look like the French Riviera midsummer.
That's common to them
well
all.
Done.
It does not rain in Northern Ireland, according to
five
of these.
It's just always slightly windy.
Yes, but blue sky.
Okay, I liked it too. I thought I picked up on the partnership references, but I thought the fact they didn't mention Fianna Fáil, I knew what they were getting at, but you're right, they should have mentioned you need to own it. You need to talk, but if you're going to do it, you need to own it.
But they don't know.
I thought they profiled some good candidates. Interesting, no one from Newry Morning Down, where they've got big battles on there, particularly with Sinn Féin. I thought it was really good. Same thing, you know, Pete Byrne. I've never heard Pete Byrne speak before. And Cara Hunter, I know, is a new recruit to the SDLP. But again, I'd love to see her on some local election programs and that there as well. I thought they made good use of Colm Eastwood and Nicola Mallon, because normally Claire Hanna features very heavily in SDLP PEBs, and of course she's not there anymore. So I thought they actually substitute. I thought Danny McCrossan did a decent job, I assume, substituting for Claire Hanna.
Don't think he even should have been there, because again, it was again what I'd said about the Sinn Féin thing. Stop giving your assembly members such a big deal. Colm Eastwood at the start, Nicola Mallon at the end would have done, and let me hear what those councillors have to say.
And I thought that there was, I just thought that it was a good SDLP message in terms of, you know, new politics, new Ireland, and I think that that's their only hope about being distinguished from Sinn Féin and the DUP in terms of trying to offer something new. So what did you, out of 10,
I'm taking the mark off it, so it's only going to get 8, and it's losing the mark for Daniel McCrossan, because as I'd written down, it's not a candidate and he shouldn't have been there. But other than that, it was close to a 9, but it's an 8.
Okay, Alison.
I'd more go with a 7, I think.
7, okay. Okay, and Chris.
I'd probably go for 7.5. There's just a few things in there that just, you know, could be better. Probably if they had another week thinking about it, they would have sorted it out. But
it had the best music by far.
Yes.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff.
Seven and a half, and the reason why I didn't give it an 8 was because I thought if you're watching that at home and the racing up to Colm Eastwood and the music may initially kind of make you go, what happened, switch over, that would be the only thing that they maybe should have phased that in a bit more, but on that, a good shout. So now on to the Ulster Unionist Party. Alison, kick us off. What do you think about the UUP's attempt?
Okay, it made me sad. It was Philip Dundas' Stars for an iPhone. And it was, I mean, we're talking about, you know, the budgets, the production value. It was just like so low budget, it must cost by £20. But they had they did feature their councillors, and that was the only thing they featured. You know, I know that Robin Swan made an appearance at the end, but apart from that, we had their councillors like draped over this like sad wee sofa saying, I know you're all fed up of politics, listen to Brett. And I was, within about 20 seconds, I was fed up with it. I just wanted it to go away. They seem to have a good range of candidates in terms of age, gender, class as well. Whereas, you know, sometimes they can profile, some parties will profile, you know, people who they think are quite professional. There was obviously some very working class candidates there. But to be honest with you, because they were all speaking about how terrible everything was, I'd sort of zoned out by the end and wasn't really listening to them anymore, because there was nothing upbeat about it at all. There was nothing about, you know, what they could change. There was no relief from the big dark room that they were all sitting in. And at one stage, if they'd have started like blinking with their eyes out of sense and a SWAT team to rescue them, because I'm thinking, I wonder if they're kidnapped and maybe they can't get out of there and someone needs to go and get them out.
Okay, let's see if we can get Alan. What did you make of the UUP?
It felt cheap compared to the rest. It was mercifully short at the 2:40. It was very negative. It was started off with, you know, you're fed up with politics, you're frustrated with stuff. It was really a get your vote out message, and it's way too early in the campaign to be trying that. So it completely forgot. It was totally negative, so it completely forgot that there was something about the Ulster Unionist Party that they wanted to sell. So they were just trying to basically... But we, that brings me back to, we need to remember who's watching it. So they're kind of thinking of traditional Ulster Unionist voters who are a bit apathetic and don't want to go out. They've clearly realised something has... They've done some poll or survey or gone to a pub or a farmer's market or something, and they've been told, oh, I don't think I'll be bothered voting this time because it's not worth it. So they're clearly trying to energise their existing vote so they don't drop. But they weren't trying to actually attract anybody new. There was a nice bit of virtue signalling in terms of kind of a guy with tattoos showing, very clearly allowing them to show, just to kind of go, you know, we're the Ulster Unionists, you wouldn't have expected that. No ties, so edgy for them, you know, there's only one candidate in Lisburn, doesn't have a tie in his poster, and it stands out like a sore thumb. But it was, yeah, I didn't like it at all. Mm-hmm. Because it just failed to be about the election. It was about turnout.
It's like they'd give up. Yeah. Like, we'll just give up. We don't even want to vote for the DUP, so why bother spending any money on this?
Yeah.
It lacks energy as well.
And Chris.
What usually happens is when you don't speak in public a lot or do this stuff a lot, you end up trying to overact it. And because you overact it, you lose sincerity.
And sitting down is a... I mean, if you want to do a radio interview, the trick is to stand up on the phone and do it, because you sound more...
But then
right.
They also have this... upward inflection because they don't do it, so they're talking like that all the time when you come to the election booth. That sort of, and it really, you know, when you think about when this is on TV, it's just after the news and just before the Trumpets of the One show. It needs to sort of be slightly more uplifting to allow, you talked, Alan, about the traditional unionist voters, you know, they need to turn their hearing aids up to hear this stuff. Because
and I imagine at that time they'd have just had a big feed of spuds, like a traditional unionist voter. Absolutely. Would be away asleep listening to it. I mean, it would be like, hang on a second.
So it's a bit of a total flatliner, to be honest.
And if they'd stood, if they'd got rid of the sofa and just stood against the wall, a black wall, they'd have would have looked happier and sounded brighter. It would have been possibly even cheaper to make.
I thought it was interesting because they actually have some really able politicians in that. Yeah. Julie Flaherty, who's got one of the best stories about coming into politics. Robin Swan getting her
wearing
into politics.
An orange top.
Yeah, I thought she's got a great... Richard Smart, who's the current mayor of Ards and North Down, and again, part of their future. And Leah Smith, I actually thought they had a lot of young... really good candidates. They just profiled them horribly, as Alison was saying. It looked like they were a hostage situation. The black sofa and the black thing. Yeah. I mean, the Ulster Unionist colours are red and blue. They why didn't they have any like nice white colours? They needed the conference screen that they normally have, the big projected white screen behind them. And again, it was too much about the DUP. Like to me, coming out of it, if I'm a Unionist voter, I would equally have been voting for the DUP because it talked subtly so much about the DUP and it was so much of a thing to go for the DUP. So I thought there were real problems with it. I thought it was just poor use of their election candidates, which I thought was a shame. So okay, so Alison, out of 10,
a wee 4, and I'm being nice.
A wee 4, okay. Chris,
I'd probably go for a big 4.
A big 4. Okay. Alan,
I was given a 5.
5.
Wow.
Okay. I mean, I like the color. I like the fact that they'd actually all had to wear kind of single color, no patterns and things. It was done on the cheap, but it actually was done quite nicely on the cheap. Yeah. You know, it could have been worse.
I like the music as well. I thought the music was nice. The back.
I didn't write anything. It was the only one I didn't write down. You know.
So okay. So God love the UUP. Okay. So I'm going with 4.5, Sam. So that's my go. Okay. So on to last and these. I was the Alliance Party would be the equivalent of Ireland in the Eurovision Song Contest for our Party Action Broadcast. They typically either tie or come first.
Was the cartoon this
but
time?
So Alan, you kick us off on the Alliance Party's attempt this time.
So I kind of assumed we would get another wee cartoon, and they're very cute. And whether you like the party or not, you go, at least we don't have to look at candidates. We see enough of them on posters, we can see wee cartoons, but we didn't. Instead, Naomi narrates basically the whole thing, and I suppose I think it's a neat concept because they're trying to basically say they show people. So Michael is a dentist, Tim is a farmer, you know, Danny is a nurse, Geraldine is the dementia champion, you know, and then the kind of the spoiler for those of you who haven't seen it at the end is that they show them all again, but they say that actually Michael is a councillor, Tim is a former mayor, you know, plot twist. These are actually our candidates, and I think it worked quite well because I think at a human level it allows you to relate to these people are doing things that are sensible in society. Oh, these are councillors. Oh, and so it worked well. I think it worked quite well with Naomi just narrating it, but not having to be kind of seen. So she was kind of the voice of it. She's a good enough voice, but it was the candidates were the people kind of count. Some of them were former councillors as well. People like us, like you, looking for solutions, not problems. I think it kind of worked quite well, given that they're. Kind of they're in that position where they're going to struggle to kind of grow a vote. It was much better than standing still. It wasn't boring, and it probably actually cost a fair amount to do because I had to go around all kinds of bits of Northern Ireland, even Coleraine, to do things to get the filming. But it was nice. It's a middle of the road thing, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Alice.
I thought clearly what they've done, they've hired someone like Chris that sat down and come up with a concept because it had a concept, right? So. It started in as you know, surprised. Alan was saying, we've got, you know, Michael the dentist, you know, and it went on and we had, you know, Yvonne the poet. There's unsurprisingly, there was no Trisha from Tesco. It was the most middle class thing I've ever watched in my life. Also,
there was Philip the truck driver.
He was a construction worker. I think he owns the business.
No, that's David. That's David, who was MI21 the last time.
So, and also... Alliance voters must love parkruns. There was an awful lot of parkruns and like feet running around. It's like a Nike ad at the start. I'm like, you know, like choose, you know, just do it. You know, it got very sort of inspirational. It was very good. I think the way it was shot was beautiful. I think showing people in an ordinary setting and Naomi's voice because she's the most recognisable, but without her being in profiling the council candidates, that comes, you know, people like you, just ordinary people, you know, it was hammering home that. But what I think that the finally accepted is that the middle ground means middle class because they've given up on trying to go for votes in the Lower Newton Arch Road. They've given up trying to go for votes in working class areas. It was brilliantly pitched. I thought it was a great concept. I thought it was wonderfully filmed. I thought everyone played their part very well. But if this, you know, this wasn't just food, like it was M&S food, it was like so middle class, it really was. It made me giggle, just how posh it was.
Okay, Chris.
I actually really like this one. It's, you know, renewable energy is the only thing that came to mind when I watched this. You know, they were selling a dream here. I actually think I bought it. So very uplifting. I think the cadence in Naomi's voice is exceptional, and she has a career after politics in voiceovers for butter adverts and things like that. So I think Alliance to me, it's always been consistently good. I always used to love those animated things, and the stuff that they did a couple of years ago as well was very good too. So, you know, but as Alison sort of alluded to, they've kind of used their best people in it. There's no real new faces that I see. The people I have in it are perfectly good candidates and perfectly good counsellors, but the most recognisable. So it's almost like you sometimes a band has to play their new songs. They didn't do this in this occasion.
I sort of wanted to rough it up a bit. Do you know what I mean? Just like raconteur or something. It was just all very perfect.
So the idea of a long-armed camera and a bit of drone footage, a bit of that, was perfectly reasonable. Yeah. This could easily slot in, as Alison alludes to, a brand.
Yeah.
What that brand is, I'm not sure people know exactly what it is yet. Are they ready for the fight? Are they rough and ready out in the council areas where they haven't had great success, which is kind of what they've tried to allude to recently? Or are they just going to hold their bases where they currently are?
I really like, now this is obviously because Alliance got a 2-for-1 here, because this was their conference broadcast word for word, like nothing was changed from what they did back in March. I really love the concept. I love the whole we're ordinary people, and then it comes up as, you know, Kate Alliance counsellor, you know, and then she's student support activist,
and they didn't have to say it only just appeared in the subtitles.
And the same thing
the
with people like Mickey Murray, who's run from the Botanic, walking along, and then he comes up LGBTQ. I thought it was good. They didn't just show their big beasts in that respect. They didn't just rely. In fact, there were actually no other MLAs. They actually 100% profiled their council candidates, which was really really good. Which I really liked, and again the music is just, it's so beautifully filmed. I mean, the company who does it, it's Peel Blue Dot. They always earn their money, you know, they always do a fantastic job for Alliance. It's always, Alliance broadcasts are always really well shot and just really well put together. And Naomi does the voiceover again. Naomi actually never appears. She's a bit like, you know, kind of the villain in a film, like, you know,
she
the voice.
So, we know her voice so well, she didn't even need to appear. You know, you know that voice is so distinctive.
Yeah, she always does the voiceover. She's done so for the past 5 or 6 of them. So again, they've stayed true to the things that have earned them success in the past. So, okay, we'll start off with you, Alison. What would you give out of 10 the Alliance Party broadcast?
I would give it an 8, possibly an 8.5, and if that was an advert for trainers, I'd have bought them.
Which one am I putting in here?
8.
8, okay. Okay, Chris?
I'll give it an 8.5, and also it made me want to go on a park run and buy the shoes, sign up and
be a better person.
I started doing stomach crunches in the middle of it.
Andrew Muir will be along.
For anyone who follows Andrew Muir on Facebook or anything like that, you know, you're always in envy of just how much the guy runs. Go ahead, Alan, what would you give it?
I was only going to give it a 7, to be consistent with the scale I've used, but I think it was very consolidating, but it wasn't very aspirational in terms of kind of the wider thing. It wasn't kind of trying to go too far east of the band.
They did go to
Newry.
Yeah.
It was kind of, it didn't have the new voices. It had people that I kind of recognised. They're all very Alliance-y. They're all, but I mean, they're clearly all people who would actually be willing to let somebody into their work to do it, which does limit, you know, what you can do. But so it was kind of a 7, but compared with some of the rest, that makes it actually not too bad.
Yeah, okay. And just tallying up the scores, that actually makes Alliance, again, they are literally like Ireland in the Eurovision. They have actually, they're the winners with 31.5 points. Joint second is the SDLP and the DUP. They'll be
DUP
well chuffed about.
Wow.
DUP joint 30.
I thought the SDLP would
and
have walked
Sinn Féin
it.
Have pulled badly this year with 25 points, and the UUP trailing in 5th place with
17.5
points.
The SDLP should
9 out of 5.
17.5 points.
If there was a 6th place, the UUP would be
an SDLP. Okay. And
now, the UUP could have run the Alliance. They could have used the Alliance concept, and it would have done them a power of good.
And the SDLP will be happy because the SDLP typically normally trail badly in these things, so they'll probably get an award for most improved. broadcast. So whoever does theirs is a good thing. So thank you so much for listening in. I want to thank our panel, Chris Brown from Brown O'Connor, Alison Morris from the Irish News, and our own Alan Meebin. Okay.